Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Good morning, church. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we thank you for the honor and the privilege that we have to come together and to worship you this morning. Father, I know that we all have different things going on in our lives, things that are pulling us in one direction or the other, but Lord, may we just set those aside and make you our focus today. We thank you for the privilege that we have to do this. We thank you for what your Son did on the cross to make a way where there was no other way. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and worship, and let's remember that the battle is the Lord's.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. A mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. Yeah. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees. With my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is the cross, God, you see the fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand.
I want to sing it again. Almighty fortress,
almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows.
there's one thing that I've discovered in all these years of ministry, and that is that we have a lot of hurting people around us. We have a lot of people who are carrying burdens that none of us know about. We have people carrying things and have stuff going on in their lives that often are not reflected to everybody else. And that's where our job comes in as Christians, is to walk alongside them, to point them back to Jesus, reminding them that they do not have to walk this battle alone. And I think that's really important for us to keep that in mind. And that's why we do My Three. So My Three, not only are we taking the time to lift them up, those who don't know Jesus, to the Lord, but it's also a great reminder for us on where our friends and family might be at. That we're taking the time to reflect on what their needs may be, and that we pray for them directly. That's why every week we do this, though, is to lift up people who don't know Jesus so that they may learn who Jesus is. And we know that He hears our prayers over and over again. So this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to think of those three people in your life who don't know Jesus, and to lift them up by name, because we know that God hears those prayers. We know that He answers those prayers, and we have seen Him do some mighty work in people's lives. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today, and Lord, I thank You for the blessings that we have to be able to come to You in this way. Father, we can pray for those around us who don't know Jesus, where we can pray for those around us that are carrying burdens that nobody else knows about. And Lord, in this moment, we lift them up by name right now. Lord, we ask that You do a new work inside of them, that You soften even the hardest of hearts this morning, that they may experience that new life that is brought through Your Son, Jesus. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just continue to worship.
Got him on my knees again. Got him. like holy water. Your forgiveness, it's like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like the sound of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water on my skin. It's like holy water on my skin. It's like holy water.
Holy water, that's what we all want, right?
I won't forget the wonder of how you brought deliverance, the exodus of my heart. You found me, you freed me. How about the waters from my release? Holy Yahweh, you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The power of a day is a sign that you are with me. The fire by night is the God who led to my feet. You found me, you freed me, held back the waters from my release. Oh Yahweh, you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To my Egypt, you took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, me out of freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah,
We want to declare that this morning, that we depend on Him.
I depend on Him.
Just sing it over your life.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we give this service to you. We give this message to you. Father, we give all of it over to you. Because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here today. Lord, I ask that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Lord, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we pray that it penetrate even the hardest of hearts, and that we may walk out with a deeper love and understanding of who you are, that we may be faithful disciples. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be diving back into our mini-series called The Returning King, where we're reminded of this phrase that simply says, in uncertain days, faithful disciples live watchfully, serve diligently, and remain ready for the return of the King. You know, we're living in a unique time in history right now, where we're right between two great events, the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. And it's during this time that we're called to live this faithful life, this life that pursues Christ in everything that we do. And that is not always easy in the world that we live in a world that often rejects Jesus. So we can find ourselves wrestling with, how do we do that? How do we live faithfully in a world while we're waiting on His return? Well, inside of our passage this morning, we actually see Jesus giving us instructions on how to do that. We'll be over in Matthew 24, verses 45 to 51, for anyone that wants to follow along in their own Bibles this morning. And inside of this passage, we see Jesus teaching a parable about two servants who were waiting for the master to return. And we know that both servants have been given responsibility while the master was away, yet each one of them responded very differently to the delay of the master. One remained faithful, while the other became careless and abusive to the world around them. So let's open up our Bibles and this morning and dive in, starting with verse 45, where it tells us, "Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time?" You know, there seems to be this common misunderstanding about the Christian life. It's this idea that waiting on God means inactivity for us. You know, a lot of times when we get this idea of waiting, what do we think of? We think of like waiting at a doctor's office, right? We're sitting there and we're waiting. We're just sitting there twiddling our thumbs. Da-da-da. Maybe getting a magazine out. Do doctor's offices still have magazines? I was kind of wondering on that. But we're just sitting around really doing nothing is what it feels like. Waiting on something to happen. And so often with our walk with God, we do the same thing. We just sit back and we wait for him to do something, wondering when is he going to show up and do whatever we're hoping he does. It's often in those moments whilst we're waiting for God that we become restless, that we become distracted. And when we look over at the scriptures and we start reading through them, though, we see that that's not what we're called to do. We see something different. We see that waiting on God is never a passive activity. Instead, waiting on God is often expressed through faithful obedience. It's like the faithful servant in our parable this morning. He stayed busy while he was waiting for the master to return. When we look at our passage, we see that he wasn't sleeping all day. He wasn't living life distracted. He didn't begin to neglect his responsibilities. No, instead what we see is while he waited on the master to return, he did exactly what the master had assigned him to do. It's one of those little reminders that whilst we wait on Jesus, we're called to continue the mission that he has given us, to fulfill the Great Commission, to reach the lost for the sake of the kingdom. You know, each one of us have different gifts, talents, and stuff that we've been assigned, that God has given us and equipped us to do and fulfill. For example, inside of our parable this morning, the first servant was trusted with feeding the household at the proper time. And we may at first look at this and we may think, well, that seems like a simple task. But the reality is, it was a critical task for that house. The well-being of everybody depended on the faithful servant taking that task to hand and feeding everybody. It's one of those tasks that we don't often think about whilst we're eating, but we sure do miss when the food's not in front of us, right? Let's be honest for a moment. If we missed it, we would feel it. Have you ever not fed a dog or a kid or something like that for a moment? Maybe you didn't feed your spouse at their regular time, and suddenly instead of hungry, they're hangry. These things happen. You know, often as Christians, we have the tendency to admire the big moments of faith. We have a tendency to admire those godly men and women that have done great and big things and amazing things. You know, when we look over to an event like a Billy Graham revival, we hear about how thousands came to Jesus in that moment. But you know what we don't often think about? We don't think about all the teams that went ahead and prayed before he ever got there, months in advance. We don't think about the local church leaders who encouraged their members to show up and pray and to be the hands and feet in those moments. The people who set up the tables and the chairs and the ones who set up all the logistics and the food for the night of the events. We don't think about those things. We just think about the big message and people coming to Jesus. But each of those positions played a vital role for those thousands to come to Jesus. And those things may seem simple and ordinary, but I want to remind you that God often works through those ordinary responsibilities of life. That God measures faithfulness in daily obedience, not just in the big moments. When we look over at our Bibles, we actually see that ring true throughout it. We see Noah faithfully building the ark for decades before the floodwaters ever came. We see Joseph serving God faithfully in prison before he ever became the ruler of Egypt. We see young David watching over the sheep before he became king. We even see the disciples following Jesus everywhere before they even fully understood the mission that he was on. And there's so much more that we could list. But as we can see, each of these men were faithful in the little things before they were ever encountered the big thing that we remember them for. And this is a principle that I want us to understand. There are many Christians who spend their time wondering what God may have called them to do in the future, wondering what is God going to use me for in the future, and how can I do this or that, but in the meantime, they neglect what God has already called them to today. They neglect the work that's right in front of them. We have to remember our life of faithfulness begins with today's responsibility so that we are ready for whatever God has called us to do tomorrow. Because readiness looks like obedience today. Throughout this series, Jesus has repeatedly emphasized living this life of readiness. You know, the disciples, what do they want? They wanted information, but Jesus gave them instructions to be prepared. The disciples wanted a calendar for when Jesus comes back, but instead he called them to a lifestyle of obedience. Because readiness is found in obedience to Christ, not in information or a calendar, not in riches or fames, but in obedience. As Christians, we are called to have this expectation of Christ's return. When we live with that expectation within us, we live a different life than the world around us. We live a ready life, one where we pray faithfully, where we worship sincerely, where we serve diligently, and we repent quickly. Our expectation of the return of Jesus should actually motivate us to live a faithful life, even in the small things that he's called us to. Now, I know at times that can be difficult. We can find ourselves struggling in the small things because we have this idea that the little things are insignificant. And we start to getting it in our head that we get this idea that, well, I'm not a preacher, or I'm not a missionary, I'm not an elder, that God hasn't called us into this big public role in the kingdom. But when we look at our parable this morning, we see that Jesus never said that the servant was famous, did he? He never said that he was rich and powerful. He never said that he had a big public role. No, what Jesus said is that this servant was faithful. You know, the kingdom of God and the advancement of the gospel often happens because countless acts of unseen obedience, of people being faithful. A Sunday school teacher faithfully preparing their lessons. A parent at home teaching their children about the scriptures. A believer encouraging someone who is discouraged. Even someone faithfully praying behind closed doors. These are not the actions that make the headlines of the local newspaper by any means. These are things that may not even make it into a church newsletter. But I want you to know this. Heaven takes notice when we are faithful, even in those little things. And we're blessed for it. Because there's a blessing for being faithful. In fact, Jesus says in 46 and 47, "Blessed is that servant whom the master finds doing his job when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions." You know, in the middle of verse 46, there was a very important phrase, and it says, "finds doing." The blessing that Jesus is talking about in this verse is being found doing the work that he's called us to do. You know, this series has been all about Jesus' second coming. And when Jesus comes back, he's not looking for spectators. He's not looking for the person who's been sitting around waiting on God to do something. Instead, he's looking for the servants who've been faithful to him throughout it. He's looking for the believer who remained faithful in prayer to him. He's looking for the believers that remain faithful in worship, who remain faithful in witness to others. You know, the faithful servant in her passage this morning didn't serve because he knew when the master was coming back. Instead, he served because the master was worthy of obedience and service. Whether he came back today or 50 years from now, he knew he had a job to do, and he did it faithfully. And this is the very heart of Christian discipleship. We don't serve God because we know when he's coming back. We serve him because he's worthy of our obedience. We serve him because we love him, and he's instructed us to do this. And we know that we will be rewarded at the end, whenever that may be, and we will get to hear these wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And what a joyous moment that'll be to hear those words. But the unfortunate truth is, not everyone will be able to hear those words. In fact, the Bible tells us that there will be people who will hear, "Away from me, I never knew you." And what a sad day that'll be. And we see Jesus addressing this in verse 48 and 49, where we see him shifting from the faithful servant to the wicked one. He says, "But if that wicked servant says in his heart, 'My master is delayed,' and starts to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards." What a striking difference between the two. Both servants in our passage this morning belonged to the same household. They both had the same master, yet neither knew when the master would come back. But the wicked servant in our parable saw the delay of the master as an opportunity to indulge himself instead of focusing on the responsibilities that he'd been given. And that change in the servant didn't happen overnight. Instead, it started inside of his heart. He's convincing himself that the master's delayed so he didn't have to do his job. And this is really important for us to understand, because before we fall into sin, before sin ever becomes visible in our lives, it always begins in the heart. You know, our sin starts with our thoughts way before they turn into actions. The wicked servant didn't just wake up one morning and suddenly become wicked. Instead, his behavior flowed from within his heart, and he gradually lost sight of the master. The second servant's greatest mistake was not denying that the master was coming back. It wasn't even denying that the master existed. No, his mistake was he began to live life as if the master didn't matter. And he assumed he would always have more time before he came back. You know, as Christians, we can often find ourselves in this wrestle and inside of this battle where we start to believe there's always more time. That we can become serious about our faith later on in life. So we keep doing the things that we know that we shouldn't do. We push off the realities of Christ. We push off the realities of his return. And over time, it creates this spiritual complacency within us, where we start to live life as if Christ didn't matter at all. We start to delay repentance. We start to postpone the obedience that we're called to, and we neglect the spiritual disciplines of life. And the more that we do these things, the more we begin to drift away from God, always believing there will be another opportunity, always believing there will be more time. But the truth is, life is uncertain. Tomorrow is never promised. None of us know the day or the hour of Christ's return, and none of us know the day that we will take our last breath. Yet as believers, we are to live every day with readiness, to live a life that is faithfully pursuing Christ, even in the ordinary moments, to walk out the calling that he's given us, to give us the gifts, to use the gifts and the callings that he's given us for his glory and not our own. Yet so often we see people using their God-given gifts and talents and their callings for the very wrong reason. In our passage this morning, Jesus actually alluded to this when he said the wicked servant began to beat his fellow servants. Both servants in our parable this morning were given authority over others. The first one was given authority and responsibility to make sure that the house was fed. And we don't know exactly what the second one's responsibilities were, but we do know that he used it to abuse the household. There's a big difference between godly leadership and ungodly leadership. Godly leaders use their authority for the benefit of others and for the kingdom. Ungodly leaders use their authority for the benefit of themselves. You know, each and every believer has a sphere of influence around them and in their lives, where we are called to use the gifts and talents that God has given us to influence those around us for the sake of the kingdom. Parents, you have influence and authority over your children. Employers have that influence and authority over their employees. Teachers, you have authority over your students. And for you older believers, you have influence on the younger ones. And the same thing goes for our students that are in this room this morning. You have a sphere of influence around you in your classmates. You have that sphere of influence with your teammates that you're part of. You have an influence on the world that is greater than you ever realized. But for each one of those positions, the question is the same. How are you using that influence that God has trusted into you? Are you building people up with it, or are you tearing them down? Are you encouraging others, or are you using it to intimidate them? If we're faithful servants, we use the gifts that God has given us to serve others and not ourselves. In the last part of 49, Jesus says something interesting. He said that the wicked servant eats and drinks with drunkards. And at first, when we just read this, we think, oh, it's a, you know, he's just talking about he's going out and having drinks and doing things that he shouldn't do. But there's a very interesting progression that we saw inside of our text this morning. First, the wicked servant forgets that the master is coming back. He forgets the master's authority, step one. Step two, he starts mistreating people. And step three, now we see him indulging himself, making life all about him. This is the same pattern that often appears in spiritual decline of people. When people stop focusing on God and they start focusing on themselves, their wants and their desires become their priorities in life. The pleasures of life become the pursuits of life. I know inside of our culture, we're often told to follow our own desires and our own wants, to live out our own truths, to do what we want. But the scripture teaches us something completely different. In fact, the Bible teaches us that if we want to follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves and pick up our cross. That being a mature believer is not found in getting everything we want. Instead, it is found in submitting our desires to God's will. And this is one of those passages that is calling each and every believer to examine our own hearts and our own minds and ask ourselves, have we become complacent in our faith? Have we lost our sense of urgency? Have we begun to living more for our own comfort than for Christ? Have we forgotten that every day belongs to Jesus? The spiritual danger that is outlined in this passage is not open rebellion. It's a gradual shift away from Jesus. The wicked servant didn't suddenly abandon the household and his responsibility. He just simply became comfortable and careless in it. And he began living life as if there was no accountability. This is why we need to remember this phrase in our series. In uncertain days, faithful disciples live watchfully, serve diligently, and remain ready for the return of the King. Because Jesus will return exactly as he promised he would. But the question is, will we be found ready in that moment? Jesus closes out our passage this morning with verses 50 and 51, where he says, that servant's master will come on a day he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a sobering reminder for each of us. The master is coming back when we least expect it. And when he does, he will evaluate his servants. You know, throughout Matthew 24, over the last couple of weeks, Jesus has been emphasizing the unexpected nature of his return, that no one will know the day or the hour of his return. But as his disciples, we are called to be prepared for when he does come back. This faithful servant in our passage was ready, and he was found faithfully serving when the master came back. But the wicked servant, he was unprepared because he had been living as though the master would never return. I want to remind you this morning that the Bible says that in the end, we will all face judgment and have to give an account for the choices that we make in life and what we do with the gifts that God has given us. And did we, ultimately it comes down to, did we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Not just with our lips, but within our hearts. Did we allow him to transform us from the inside out, that we would be faithful servants of his? You know, the wicked servant in our passage this morning's greatest mistake was assuming that he had more time. He believed that accountability was at a distance and that he could continue living selfishly without any consequences. Yet the master suddenly appeared. I know many people believe and they live life as if tomorrow is guaranteed. Yet none of us know what tomorrow truly holds. The Bible consistently teaches about the uncertainties of life. In fact, James chapter 4, verse 4 tells us, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you are like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The return of Christ and the unknown of life remind us that now is the time to be faithful. Now is the time to obey. Now is the time to serve. Now is the time to walk with God. And if we're faithful servants, it means that we live every day ready because we understand that the master could return at any moment. So my question to you this morning is, are you ready to face Jesus face to face? And I'm going to say this, if you can't answer that question honestly this morning, now is the time to get yourself right with God. Now is the time to examine yourself, to turn your life over to him, to repent and make him Lord of your life again, so that you're prepared for when the master returns. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement and the reminder this morning in your text. Lord, I ask that you be with us as we examine our own hearts and our own minds this morning. And are we ready for your return? Lord, may you reveal in us what we are holding back from you, what's holding us back from being faithful disciples. Lord, help us lay that down this morning. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want you to know we're going to have a prayer team up front this morning. If you don't know Jesus, if that is a place that you find yourself or you've been walking out without, there are people here who would love to pray with you and to share more about who Jesus is with you. I guarantee you there's people sitting next to you that will have that prayer with you to spend that time explaining that to you. But most importantly, don't leave here today not being ready to see our Savior face to face.
Let's stand.
Shadows of my soul.
is found, is where our future is secured, is in Jesus. As you go out this week, may you remember that you are loved and cherished, and that God made no mistake when he made you, and he wants that relationship with you. And if you don't have that relationship, it is available today, here, and now. God bless you. Have a great week. We do have people up here ready to pray with you if you need prayer. God bless. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.